this city was so wicked that they wanted to induce lust upon these men. But yet, how is it for you that we live in a world and yet we wonder if God is ever around us? And today we would want to recognize that God speaks in a small voice that renders the gospel to our ears. And yet it's upon us that we to receive what God is trying to teach. God, sometimes he has to bring his word through power by warning us what iniquity is. And he does that at times when he brings the thunders of the sky, when he brings providential judgments of famine and war and fire and some type of tragedy. You remember some tragedy that we experienced here in America in 2001 of September. God spoke through the tragedy of the Twin Towers in New York City. He did so because as a nation that have relinquished from bowing their lives under his word, they've come to a point of not repenting under the mercies that God has shown in America. God allowed a dreadful wake-up call to America, and the staggering destruction of the lives that were there on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon is tales of horror that you and I, we can see even to this day. You can go on the internet and look at the horrors that people describe of the Twin Towers. Folks were jumping out of the windows. They were jumping out of the windows trying to escape the burning fire that was consuming their bodies. They figured it was better to plunge out into the darkness of the unknown than it was to be burned alive. There are innumerable stories of people being pulled out of the collapsed rubbish. There are comments even today after 15 years later of the horror stories that even time doesn't mellow the grief. There are also stories of the heroics. Some heroically tried to save those in the building. They tried to go through the process and to help people, but yet they lost their own lives in the very condition. Countless stories have been told of these heroic deeds. One incident, an officer stood by the doorways of one of the Twin Towers, and as folks came streaming out, he stood there and he shouted as the multitudes came out, "Don't look up, don't look back, run for your life." And here we find that Lot was being told the same thing. These words we remind, go with me in verse 17. "And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed." Today, there's a message to this world. That message is that to understand that this world will one day be consumed by the fires and by the wrath of Almighty God. And so what do? When we're trying to find our escape, we're here, we want to bring something out. You and I, we are to be finding our escape. Many people put their lives, they balance all their lives on what they perceive. This morning, I'd like to present to you, number one, realize the immediate danger. When danger is behind us, we should strain all of our powers to escape this mess. When the cry of fire, 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 fire ran up and down the floors of the World Trade Center and filled the streets of New York, it brought chaos to all the people that was around, and they immediately knew the danger, that there was the danger was more it was more than they could bear. And today, it would behoove us to understand that flames are cruel tyrants that devour us remorselessly. There's no compassion in the flames of fire that we would experience here on this world. The word fire uttered by thousands of New Yorkers on September 11 is only a shadow of what Jesus called hellfire. We can look that up in the Bible, Matthew chapter 18, verse 9. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell. Mark 9, verse 43, and if thy eye offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two eyes to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Mark 9:45, and if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter whole into life than having two feet to be cast into hell and into a fire that should never be quenched. Jesus spoke that eternal cry of hellfire. God spoke more on hell, what hell meant to him than anything he ever preached on, because you find in the life of Christ the compassion for souls of going to hell. Not one person that God would want to enter the hell, not even his greatest enemy, but it's upon that person's choice that they choose the judgment. That word hellfire will be ascending to the day of judgment. One day you're going to understand the great weighty matters of what hellfire really is when you see the existence of it in eternity. When you question yourself, how real is eternal hell to me? What difference will it make in my life that I can come and experience the quenches of his fire? Hey, dreadful as it is, that's child's play compared. Hellfire is child's play compared. I'm saying to you so that you'll understand, hellfire is child's play compared to the wrath of God. Folks, do understand that today there are many people that are living with a mixture of sin and righteousness in their life, and they don't understand what the wrath of God really is into their life. We claim this word Christianity. We claim this understanding of living a repentant life, but today the church is no different than the world. We don't understand what sin is. We don't understand what the eternal consequences is. And today, I would say, many of God's so-called people will not ever enter the gates of heaven. You say, Pastor, how do you say that? How can you say that? Because of the biblical principles. God does not play with eternity. You and I, we need to see that day of judgment approaching. I was looking up on the internet some of these stories, and I soon backed away because the stories were too much. Where do you start and where do you end? And yet there was one photograph. It's called The Unknown Man. Here, this photographer, he looked up at the trade towers and he seen the fire burning, and he began as a journalist to take pictures. And one picture that he took when he got back to his office, he noticed that there's a man that was flying upside down, like if perhaps he was Superman with a direction, knowing how to fly. But yet this man was flying down, plunging to his destiny. You say, Pastor, what does that mean? I don't know what it means to you, but I know what it means to me. Life is precious, folks. And God's wrath is unquestionable. You and I cannot deter the wrath of God. God's wrath is against unbelievers and has an eternity, an affinity, and a deity that will all be exposed in eternity. You're going to know truly who God is. We like to go back and we like to teach and learn that the Bible says in the book of Genesis, in the beginning God created. Well, you're going to understand what God really created as unbelievers. And that's totally against God's will. God wills for no man to perish. Who among us shall dwell with the divine fire of God's wrath? It's an everlasting fire. A fire that should never be quenched. Folks, I would come to you boldly to say, as a preacher of the gospel, We have slighted God's gospel. We have despised God's law. We have served God with a lukewarm warm heart, and we're thinking that that's the best that we can give, when in reality we have neglected the personal conversions and the personal convictions that God gives to every man to realize and accept that Jesus Christ is the Lord. He is Almighty. He is the very Creator. And one day we're going to see Him as well, just as well as we know His name. We're going to see Him face to face, and then perhaps we may understand that we've been adulterous, we've been covetous, we've been worldly, we've been sensual, we've been proud, we were all consumed up with this self-indulgence, addicting ourselves to wholesome evil. Then the Son of God, the glorious righteousness that God has given to you and I, to turn and come from out of that. Folks, it'd be honest to say that we've become a nation of liars and backbiters and murmurers. The blood of unmillions born in our hands. Unmillions that are born without any choice. We slaughter them. We kill them. Every 3 days, there's more that dies in unborn children than there was in one day of the World Trade Center crashing to its plunge of destruction. And yet we live in a world, we've come to ignore the verses like Isaiah 5 verse 20. Woe on them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We have ignored the understanding what evil really is. We think that our evil is good and we're going to get some rewards out of it. There's no rewards that man could ever have. The only reward that man could have is accepting the mercy that God has given to Lot in this chapter. Look with me again at verse 17. It says, escape for thy life. Look not behind, neither stay thou in the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Folks, you need to understand that one day, and that'll be soon. Perhaps it may be soon enough, sooner than we want to anticipate, but this world will be consumed with the wrath of God. I think about the fire engines that went to the scene in New York City. They were there to put out the very flames that was caused by destruction. But imagine this, the very means that were used to extinguish the fire was consumed by the fire. There's nothing that you and I could ever have to save our lives. There's no means of devising can enable you to escape the fire of God's wrath. See, there's a fire of sin within our hearts that cannot be quenched. There's a fire of hell outside of the body that we live in. And we think it's okay to play with this dangers. We think it's all right, but I'm not in hell. I must be okay. I haven't reached there. And we think that it's okay. But folks, we need to understand that there's a fire that cannot be quenched. The only way that can be quenched is by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Your most strenuous efforts, your most naturally spiritual causes cannot deliver you from the wrath of God. If you neglect the only way of salvation, then how can you escape? Hebrews chapter 2 verse 3 tells us that. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? Folks, may I encourage you, don't trifle with your soul between heaven and hell. Understand what hell is. It's an eternal place. The dangers, your danger requires personal attention. Those people who successfully escaped the World Trade Center didn't stop to fill their briefcases. They didn't stop to examine what was happening in their lives. they just simply realized that there's danger and it's time to flee. And they got haste, they got down, and they escaped for their very lives. They left all the possessions. They left everything they can because they were concerned about their life being consumed. Today, would you escape for your life? Would you understand that there's a consuming wrath of God that is coming upon this place, upon this world, that no man has ever experienced before? So what does that mean? Well, the Bible teaches that, behold, now is the time accepted. Now is the day of salvation. There's an immediate cry out from God. I can imagine that immediate cry from 2001. The cry from ashes today would cry out to you and I. Those people today, wherever their eternity was, perhaps some of them went to hell, and yet their cry would be immediate to you. It would be a cry from God. Folks, do understand that today's faith is simply, tomorrow's faith is simply today's unbelief. Good intentions will lead you to hell, not to heaven. Well, sir, I meant to give my heart to the Lord. I really wanted to. Procrastination doesn't save anybody. It robs every person that's involved. Today, you and I, the Bible says that we are to be in a mode of repenting and getting right to God today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Right now is the time that you and I should understand what repenting really is. John chapter 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Folks, there's no other way around the wrath of God but the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so today, what would that mean to you? Well, I'm glad you asked, because it brings me to my second point. To be saved, you must forsake all. Lot had to forsake all. Forsake means to abandon, to desert, to leave it alone. Today, if you're going to be saved from this wrath of God, then you're going to forsake all that there is. Lot had to forsake his friends. He had to forsake his friends who were not believers. Now here, Lot lived in at that time, Sodom, was a luxury kind of place. They did anything. They had anything. They whenever the desire happened, they just took of it. They just engrossed themselves. Whatever desire that brought to mankind, here you find Sodom doing that. This plain of Sodom. And you say, well, Pastor, that might be a good thing. I might have all my desires to go there and choose whatever I want. Well, you might have that, but the lesson is that when you follow the flesh, there is no survival kit. When you follow the flesh, there is no other means. The only other means is that when you and I follow this flesh, it's total destruction. And God wound up destroying Sodom. He wound up destroying Gomorrah, the city right next door to it. Bible teaches us, repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every trembling sinner needs to know that they need a Savior. If you don't repent and don't believe, you will eternally be lost. And I don't know what that means for you, but I know that eternity is not a hell, is not a place that I want to spend eternity. Lot had to forsake all his comforts. I wonder how many of us today are willing to do that. We're very comfortable people, amen. You know what? You know, I'm not trying to step outside the scriptures. But I would have confidence, and I would preach this in the streets, and I would shout it to the top of my the voice ability that I would have to preach the gospel. But you know, we're very comfortable people. A lot of us are so comfortable. We're so comfortable that we don't realize that we're so comfortable that we're on our way to hell, and we don't even recognize it. We don't even know what Jesus Christ did for us. Oh, we like talk about it. Well, I'm a Christian. I'm a good individual. I have this. I have that. I'm just a comfortable Christian. We don't really know what that really means. I do remind myself, the Bible says it's better to be in the house of mourners than to be in the house of the rich. Lot had to forsake all from his heart. You're saying, what does that mean? Well, his wife escaped, but she escaped with her heart. Go with me and look where we can find that. Let me find where it was at. I know it was there. Looked at it earlier. 26. Thank you, brother. Amen. Somebody with me, amen. Look at verse 26 with me, amen. Here it says, the Bible says in verse 26, but his wife looked back from behind and she became a pillar of salt. Today, that perhaps there might be a lot of so-called Christians that are really a pillar of salt. They have no life. They have no use. They have no understanding about God because they're on their way. They're on their way. They're thinking they're going to heaven. But in fact, in reality, they're going to hell because of the lifestyle that they live. Folks, it's more about just saying, I know Jesus Christ. There's more about than Jesus Christ than you and I could partake about. It's more about just knowing something and then really knowing it. Knowing something is not just saying, well, I believe. If you say you really know Jesus Christ, you say that He's really your Savior, you say that you really understand who the Lord Jesus Christ is, then you will follow Him and you will come out of sin. Bible teaches that. It's the only way to be. Amen. You can't, we can't just say, well, I'm a Christian and live wherever I want. I'm a Christian. I can do whatever I intended. I ain't nothing to stop me. God must be blessing me. I can go and do it. You make your choices. Just like those people jumped out of that window. They thought it was better to jump out of a window, even knowing, I mean, can you imagine? 150 stories up. Where are you going to go? You're going to jump out and thinking that all of a sudden here wings pop out of you and you just start spanning out and you got your jacket and you're holding out there and it just drifted right on out. Folks, reality sets in when you come plunging to the ground. Amen. Lot had to forsake all from his heart. You know, Jesus warned folks like you and me, warned us to be at a certain way. The Bible says in Luke chapter 17, it says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone.